right. Ready in Chumash. Alba Shalosh Stein.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
Oh, mommy, I'm so glad you're here. We have so many things to catch up on this week. You know, I've been getting ready for Halloween's, which is really exciting. I'm going to celebrate it with the kiddos. We're going to have some other kiddos over. And I don't know, I feel a bit lighter. I feel as though restrictions are lifting and people are starting to be like, I don't care if I get sick. Let's just party. Or maybe that's just me. Is that just my projecting onto the world? Maybe. I may have to stop this podcast and have diarrhea at some point. I am just going to let you know now. I had Zanku chicken on Tuesday. Today is now Thursday. And, you know, it hit me the next morning. I was doing Pilates and I had to end my sesh 15 minutes early to go have violent diarrhea. So it's still gurgling, not going to lie. I wanted to talk about, you know, I've really been, as a student of philosophy, a former student of philosophy, I have a liberal arts degree from the University of San Francisco. And, you know, I read all this stuff that's kind of, that was seen as a joke in the 90s, this postmodernism stuff about, you know, a million genders and, you know, all the wackiness we see now is a direct result of an offshoot of philosophy that was really never taken seriously. And it just took root and people are really into this stuff. So I started reading Camille Paglia. I don't even know if I'm saying this woman's name correctly. And she's a feminist philosopher who I never really got into in college, but I really like her now because I, as an older broad, I'm like, yeah, I get it. And, you know, I was just thinking the feminists, as much as I am a feminist, they kind of left out motherhood, you know? It was set aside in order so that we could get into the workforce and be like the men. And, you know, now we're going through the growing pains of mothers working, some mothers staying at home. And I think the place of the mother was sacred, was awesome. Privately, women held so much power. And now that we've gone off into the working world, it's become a bit more jumbled. Anyways, I think that we should re-celebrate motherhood. I feel a great sense of power, especially now having been home for so many months and not doing what I normally did for so many years, which was being a stand-up comedian and being more out in public. Now that I'm more focused on our private world, it's extremely fulfilling and extremely sacred. And I want to reclaim that space of mother power. Because I think somewhere along the lines it became poo-pooed to do these feminine things, at least in culture, right? The idea is that we should do everything all the time and we do it effortlessly and you should lean in, right? There was that book by the CFO of Facebook, you know, she dropped her babies, she pooped her kids out and then immediately went back to work. And I don't know, maybe that worked for her. I don't fucking know. But I don't know if that's the right way either, to just act as though nothing has happened once you've had children. And I got to thinking too that men are so shit on today. They're being blamed for so much, right? The patriarchy, and now the pendulum has swung more towards the feminine, and that's great, I guess. But I like guys. I like men. I'm raising two of them. So maybe to be more compassionate towards men, because God, I tell you, look, nothing's perfect, but men have created civilization. You guys have built the bridges and fought the wars, and you guys do all the dirty work of society, and you know, women have the power to be like, I'm just going to stay home with the kids, sweetie. You go fucking do all that. And it's great. And I don't know why we're not celebrating that more, the feminine. And again, I love dudes. I love all these knuckleheads that I work with here. Baby Zolo, you're no longer a baby. You turned 21. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Did you get ripped?
Got pretty ripped.
You love your mommy, don't you?
Of course.
Yeah, and that's the thing I don't get is I think a lot, most men are good dudes, and I think that mom is the center of the universe, especially when you're a little boy, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't think that women, you know, need to be pushing back the patriarchy. I think you guys create for us. I think you build buildings to get laid and to, you know, and you become rock stars to get laid, and you do all these things to please women, really. What do you think? Tell me the truth. Don't pussyfoot around. Come on. Be honest.
Well, I appreciate all the credit you're giving to men. That's nice.
Yeah.
I do think that there's a lot of just kind of negativity towards men in general right
now. Masculinity right now, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad, you know, growing up, being a straight white male. And it's like, well, like, why am I a bad person because of that? Why does that automatic? Why do I need to feel guilty because I might have, like, some privilege? But because, I mean, I didn't choose to be like this. It's no different than anyone else.
Well, you are Jewish, so that
I
does give you some.
I do have that notch
some badge.
Against me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. See. It was, so, I wanted you on mic because I think there's this nostalgia about the '90s right now that I've been noticing on TikTok and the movies on my, maybe it's just my Netflix and my iTunes account. They're like, do you want to watch Mallrats again? But I think the nostalgia isn't so much, it could be about fashion and music, but it really is more about a freer time in society when you know, guys could ask girls out on dates, right? Without being worried and weird. And it was a freer time. You could say things and behave and what, you could make mistakes. You could say things that were inappropriate. You could put your foot in your mouth. You know, and now I feel like that it's a very oppressive, because you're in college now.
Yeah.
So this is funny. All this shit that you've just said, you're like, just because I'm born a white guy, and yes, I have some of these privileges. And I do believe in that. That obviously my life as like a white blonde lady, as a Karen walking around, is way different than everyone else's experience, right, in the world. Yeah. Everyone has some kind of privilege to some extent. Some people are smarter. Some people are more athletic. But anyways, this whole shit that you just said of like my privilege, my invisible knapsack of privilege, isn't that what they call it in academia? Yeah. Like, it's so fucking bizarre to walk around with that.
It is. It's weird. And it also, a lot of it kind of aims to, I don't know if it's the goal, but it kind of invalidates any like opinion I might have on any issues. Like, well, you're a straight white male, so you can't really talk about this or have an opinion because you haven't experienced it. You have all this privilege,
right?
And I don't agree with that. I think, you know, there's such a push for safe spaces and, you know, all this stuff, and, you know, being accepting of people. But I feel like there's a lot of, you know, push back on the other side too.
Yeah, let me tell you about safe spaces, how I feel about that. First of all, there's no such fucking thing in life as a safe space. And I think the sooner we teach children that, the more resilient they become. And by the way, in academics, back at the universities, there was no such thing as a safe space. This is a newer thing. The opposite was encouraged when I was in college in the 90s, which was open debate, freedom of speech. If you don't like my idea, that's okay. Let me hear your counter argument. Do you hate somebody or something? Great, you can hate them. Let me hear why. That's interesting. Now they want to shelter children from the bad ideas, right? This might trigger you. So what is a safe space? Is this literally a room where kids can go hug things? I've heard they have like rooms with teddy bears and rainbows. Is that accurate?
I mean, I haven't seen any of those. I think more
You're like, I haven't gone to any of those bullshit places.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of stay away from that as much as I can. Yeah. But I'm sure they do have that on my campus. But I mean, I think the way I've heard it used is more kind of the metaphorical term, not that like they actually have things for people to feel safe, but it's just that anything you want to say, any ideas you have, but like any experiences that you want to, talk about, you're not going to be judged.
Right. But any ideas you have that are dangerous or undesirable or may invoke anxiety in somebody else is discouraged to share.
Yeah, completely.
Wow. And because you're a white cisgendered male, you don't have an opinion.
Yeah. I mean,
any
opinion I have would just kind of be invalidated a lot of the time because, you haven't experienced it. You don't know what it's like. You never will. You have privilege.
Right. But what about the experience of being a white male? Don't you guys have your own expectations on you?
Yeah.
Like you have to earn, a six-figure salary. You have to be super successful, tall, rich. You have to fuck well. You have to be, don't you guys have your own bag of drama? Doesn't everybody?
I mean, everyone does. Yeah.
In
everyone
every shape.
Everyone has their own privileges and everyone has their own, kind of shitty things that they have to deal with and have to live up to.
100%. So what I found interesting reading this Camille Paglia is that she was very controversial. She's an educator. She works on college campuses and she really was advocating for leaving kids' social lives alone, meaning let them figure out how to fuck, how to fight, how to get along. And I couldn't agree more because, you see this in, it starts at preschool, right? You drop your kids off and some kid pushes your kid and then they learn how to disagree. They learn they can't push. They learn this and that. So on college campuses now, everyone, walk me through, you mentioned it briefly, we discussed off of mic. What kind of sensitivity stuff do you have to listen to before every semester? I love this. Tell me.
Well, what I was telling you before we started rolling was about the sexual assault and the consent kind of training that they have in my school. And I think in the entire Cal State system, it's referred to as Title IX,
mm-hmm.
which is just kind of encompasses all of that.
Google Title IX because I've heard of this before. And it okay, it's the beginning of the school year. Hey guys, welcome back to college. Don't forget to do your Title IX training course. Is that right? They call or what? You do it at your computer?
Yeah, it's online for us, and then we have to watch videos and answer questions based on it. It's pretty repetitive every semester or every school year we have to.
Okay, scroll up. Let me read what they're teaching you, clowns. Okay, you make it bigger because mommy's got old eyes. The U.S. Department of Education Office for Civil Rights enforces Title IX, protects people from discrimination based on sex and education programs or activities that receive federal money. Okay, there we go. No person based on sex excluded participant denied. Okay, all right. Okay, so they tell you not to rape, which is, I think, pretty fucking pretty self-explanatory. I mean, did you need to be told not to rape?
I didn't. I don't think most people do. It deals with a lot more than just straight up rape. It has a lot to do with alcohol and how that could affect situations and consent and all that kind of stuff.
Right. So hey, we're having a party. If you see a girl who's out of it, you guys aren't allowed to rape her like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, that's good that they're telling you that. I'm not saying that that's not a positive message. I think I might agree with Camille Paglia here that do we need you to sit down and do the seminar before? I don't know.
Yeah, they don't want us to forget. So they gotta drill it in.
So what does that do? Right, now see, and judging by your tone, it sounds as though you're one of the good guys who kind of who understands that, yeah, obviously, like I wouldn't take advantage of a drunk girl. Consent is important. How do they explain consent to you? How is that explained? You have to get an explicit yes, you may do X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so walk me through
more or less. I mean, they just give you they walk you through all the situations that are not a yes. Like, no answers, not a yes. Maybe, I don't know, this and that. And I mean, like, they're right, but I don't know. It's a tricky issue.
It's interesting because, again, I feel as though those intricacies of sexuality and sex between a girl and a boy, a man and a woman, those things are worked out in the doing of them, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's something that you navigate through learning. And I imagine that really stunts your sexual development when you're so terrified to try to get with the girl.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely always in the back of your mind, and everyone's tries to be like hyper vigilant and careful. And I mean, again, I think it all comes from like a good place. Like, they want to stop these horrible things happening to people. So I don't know 100%. If it's inherently bad, but I think it's definitely kind of gone a little far in that direction, and it's become a bit excessive. I was also telling you before we started rolling that every syllabus at the beginning of every class has to publish this long long thing on the stance on sexual assault and sexual battery and all of this stuff.
I mean, was this a real problem on your campus?
I mean, I think it's a big problem in campuses overall. I don't know too much about like the statistics on my campus. The statistic that always gets thrown around is one in five women in college you know, experience some kind of like sexual abuse. I think that's the word.
Yeah, that's I would say that's
definitely kind of, it encompasses a lot more than like really serious rape, sexual battery. And I mean, it's definitely all really bad to happen. I mean, I'm trying to be safe here.
Yeah, I know. See, but this is what makes me sad too, is that we can't even say, this is what I'm saying is the problem. Okay. This is the very problem. This Title IX approach to it, this institutionalized approach to adolescent sexuality, which is essentially what you are. You're a baby, you're a teenager to me. Now you're 21, actually. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. But when you're a freshman in college, you're 18, right?
Yeah.
So why the fuck is the state, because that is Title IX, that is the government, because they've given you federal funds, are now teaching you guys how to negotiate sex. That's fucking weird. This should be done between like a more of a, I don't know, discourse setting, maybe a class where men and girls and boys or men and women, and then teachers sit down and you guys actually talk about the mechanics of like,
yeah,
versus, you know, you're gonna read some sheet on sexual assault and then click, yeah, I read that, thanks. And it's just like, ugh, like that doesn't seem good.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the problem, is that you guys can't even talk openly. Like, even now you're like, I'm afraid of being canceled. I'm afraid to even say something. So then how the heck are you guys going to have any meaningful dialogue or have a life? Because that's how things happen in the world, right? Real things happening. So this is what I mean. This is kind of ooky and gross. And I think this nostalgia of the 90s is because we could... Here's what happened in the 90s, truly. If somebody was sexually assaulted, the girls would talk, and then you'd fucking find the guy who did it. You tell everybody, and you basically ostracize that guy. That's how it worked in San Francisco when I was going to school. Now, you just tell people, hey, that guy's a creeper. Stay the fuck away from him. And then he doesn't get laid, you know? I don't know, but what the fuck? Anyway.
Well, the response would be that most women that experience something like that don't come forward, don't say anything, or that they'll be shamed.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is true. Yeah, that's true. With rape stuff, I've heard.
Yeah. Well, it's this whole idea of a rape culture, which I don't know if I really agree with.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think we live in a society that accepts or approves of rape in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
So the idea that that really exists and is pervasive throughout our society, I think, is a little...
Yes. Well, let's look up rape culture. Let's see how that's defined. I'm curious. Google rape culture and let's see even what that looks like, because I agree that look, all this stuff is a good, it's not inherently, I think the intentions are good, but this is not the way to go about it. Rape culture. Okay, Wikipedia. Rape culture is a sociological concept for a setting in which rape is pervasive and normalized due to societal attitudes about gender and sexuality. Click on the Wikipedia. Let's go a step farther. Let's see which writers in particular they're. Okay, victim blaming, yes. Slut shaming, yes. Sexual objectification, trivializing rape, denial of whites, refusing to acknowledge the harm caused by sexual violence. Dear life. Okay, rape pornography, rape fantasy. Okay, third wave feminist. Go up higher. No, sorry. No shaming, which was developed by second wave feminist in the 1970s. Critics, the concept dispute its existence or extent, arguing that the concept is too narrow. Although there are cultures where rape is pervasive, the idea of rape culture can imply that the rapist is not at fault, but rather the society that enables rape. Right. Okay. So the slut walk, the Me Too, it's all very delicate because on the one hand, I understand normalizing women's sexuality is a great idea, right? Not calling women sluts who enjoy sex. The slut walk, right. Right. I agree. I don't know. I would argue that Afghanistan has a solid rape culture.
Yeah.
That by definition is a rape culture, right? Mm-hmm. Where a woman gets stoned to death or it is fine to rape a woman. That is a rape culture. But to say it, yeah, it's too pervasive a term. It can be, you can define that anyway. You could be like, well, a strip club promotes rape culture. Does it? Because it seems to me that those are women who are making a living in a pretty safe environment the way they like to, and maybe they don't have means to make a living otherwise, and this is a pretty great option for them. It's complicated.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
It's really complicated.
Yeah.
And like I said, I mean, I think it all comes from a good place with good intentions, but like, the idea that rape is accepted, I don't know any man in or woman anywhere
normal,
that is like,
person.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's all good and it's her fault, all that. Like, no, no one's like that.
Not now. And I think if we look back in, just in terms of the 80s, have you ever seen the movie Revenge of the Nerds? Watch Revenge of the Nerds if you want to learn about. I think what they're referring to, this rape culture, where like women were clearly objectified. There's a scene in Revenge of the Nerds where a girl unknowingly has sex with a guy she thinks is her boyfriend because they're wearing the same costume, but it's in fact a nerd. And he fucking like rapes her.
Yeah.
That's rapey shit. So, I mean, we've come so far. But again, like to not even be able to talk openly, I think is what bothers me for your generation. That's what scares me, is just like, shut up. You can't say anything. You're a white guy. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, it's all fascinating. And by the way, this is in honor of episode 69.
Woo!
69, dudes! So you couldn't even do that on your college campus, could you? Could you yell 69, dudes?
I think I could do that. Yeah, I think they'd be fine with that.
Would you have like a feminist group saying that you're promoting rape culture?
It's possible. It's definitely possible.
Oh God, that's so sad. Universities used to be the place where you could be free. You should be, you know, finding the boundaries of what's cool and what's not. And now they're shutting that down. That really is wild. What's the solution, Zolo? Where do I send my kid to college?
I don't know. I do not know.
Like a Republican conservative school?
No.
Because the liberal colleges are not liberal.
So. I mean, they're young. They still have time. Maybe everyone will get their shit together by the time they're old enough to go to school.
I hope so, because I want my boys to understand courtship. So how do you ask a girl out in this culture? How did you get your girlfriend?
I mean, I kind of just asked her out the traditional way. There was nothing... too tricky there. But how are you going to handle it when you're teaching your boys and they're having all this stuff kind of shoved down their throats about consent and about, you know, rape culture and all this stuff, and they're like scared to talk to girls potentially?
I know. But that's why I do think about this stuff, because it's like, you know, you lead by example. So in the house, in the home, they see that their dad respects their mother and vice versa. You know, Tom and I are kind, and I've never heard my boys ever say anything like girls are stupid or, you know, it just doesn't. So maybe to teach them these things, but like, yeah, how do we, I don't know. I gotta wait until he's in school, until I start seeing the nonsense happen. And then I can pull him aside and be like, don't fucking listen to this. This is ridiculous. I don't know. It's scary. Cause I heard if a girl sends you her titty pics, like you're the one that's in trouble, right? If you're a minor, the boys.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely get in trouble if you got caught with that. Mm. I mean, I think everything's a little different if both parties are underage and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it's tricky now.
Man. All right, well, keep fucking Zolo. I'm happy for you. It's crazy, dude. It's a crazy world. Okay, let's go on. We've got a lot of important business to catch up on. I wrote down some things I can't believe I've said out loud this week. Do we have a few? We do have one or two of those, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, good. Let's play yours first, the listeners one. Stuff you never thought you'd say as a parent. Been saying a lot of crazy shit this week.
Hi, Christina. This is Victoria, and I'm calling about the segment Things That I Never Thought I Would Be Saying. I have a 3-year-old son, and he's potty trained. However, there are lots of things that I have to say to him pretty much on a daily basis, like, please put your penis in the potty, the potty is not for faces, it's for your butt, because he likes to stick his face into the toilet, and I just thought it was hilarious that I am having to tell somebody this, because he does not understand how gross it is, and hopefully one day he will. Anyway, thanks, Dean, love you.
That's the thing you don't really think about with kids, is that you have to explain everything to small children. Like, everything you take for granted as being common knowledge is not common knowledge to a 3-year-old. Don't touch pee. Don't flush the toilet. Don't flush objects down the toilet. The other day, Ellis got on all fours naked and spread his butt cheeks and farted at me. Like, savagery. Straight savagery, Bo. Like, yeah, you have to tell them everything. So mine was when I put on Ellis's pajamas at night, you know, we're face to face and he will try to lick my face like, because he's just so fired up. And I have to tell him nightly, please don't lick my face. Please don't lick my face. And like to have to say that to somebody, especially as sternly as I have to. And I have to tell the younger one to stop flushing the toilet hourly. Like, he's, the 2-year-old is really into the toilet right now. So that's cool. All right. Do we have another one, or that was, yep.
That's all we got.
Oh, okay. Let's do some cartoon crushes. Those are super fun. I want to hear a cartoon crush. Do we have a voicemail? Oh, we do. Play that one.
James. What's up, mommies? I'm calling in about the cartoon crushes. I'm a 40-year-old straight male, but I don't know why nobody has brought up Bugs Bunny and drag. Oh. I remember that when I was little, there was something about Bugs Bunny and drag that was hot. I don't know. Anyway, love the show. Keep it up.
Keep your mind tight. I think he's right. Google Bugs Bunny and drag. I know what he's talking about. Bugs Bunny was hot when he dressed up as a lady. Let's bring it up, Zolo. You got to show me Bugs Bunny and drag. He had on, yeah, dude, he's right. This guy's right. Look at him. Look at him. He was smoking. This is the first transgender, what is this? What would you call this in college talk, Zolo? Is he?
Ooh, this one's tricky.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure what he identifies as.
Right.
I mean, I'm messing up even calling him a he.
Right. There's a lot of various takes on this identity spectrum.
Because drag isn't trans. Drag, like, there's
ooh.
a lot of just like gay guys that identify as men that do drag.
Correct. So he, you know, Bugs Bunny could identify as just a straight man who enjoys dressing up as a woman. Oh my God, look at his tits there. They gave him like big old knockers, like pointy ones. That one's so crazy too. Oh my God. Right. Right. He's just a transvestite. Is that what that's called, right? Transvestite.
I don't think they use that term anymore.
Wait, when you dress, when you're a straight guy who just likes to wear women's clothing?
Yeah, I think that term's outdated.
Is that out? Am I think canceled?
No, I think you're okay. but yeah.
I also really had a thing for here's one a weird one I just remembered now looking at Bugs and drag is when Pepe Le Pew would find his girlfriend. Would you Google Pepe Le Pew and his girlfriend? This one too would get me going when he would find the girlfriend. Yeah, and I was like, wow. And she would have like a flower in her hair or something. Yeah. And I was just like, wow, this guy's awesome. Like, okay, that's rape culture now, right? Do you know Pepe Le Pew is Zolo?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh my darling, I love you. I want to kiss you. Like, this would be considered rape culture now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she doesn't look like she's consenting there at all.
No, she's not. Right. That is not consent. That's so true. Oh my gosh, how cute. Oh, wow. That's so funny, you know? But when I think back to consent, when I was in college, I mean, there are guys that you hooked up with who like you maybe you weren't like 100% into, but you're like, all right, he keeps fucking asking. And that's not necessarily like a bad, you know what I mean? It's just, it's neither, you're learning how to be a sexual being. You know, you make mistakes. You go like, yeah, I shouldn't have banged that guy, but as a girl, you know what I mean? Maybe you didn't say no.
Totally.
Or maybe, but you were like, no, fuck it. All right. Well, you know, you just fucking do it.
That's where it becomes really tricky because, I mean, by the definitions right now, that would be considered non-consensual. but then, like, that poses the question, like, does regret constitute rape?
Does what?
Does regret constitute rape just because you regret that you did it?
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
It's a very nuanced issue, but it's tricky.
But that's the thing. So there's so many losers I hooked up with that I wouldn't go, gosh, you know, that wasn't consensual. That was regretful. Yeah. We were like, I don't know. It kind of weird dick and it wasn't like great. But that's how you learn like, oh, then I'm not going to go for guys like that anymore. You know, you just kind of, you think you might be into that, but then you're not. Yeah. So, you know, gosh.
Yeah.
That's tricky. That's so tricky. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just going down memory lane. Of oh, gosh. I dated one Pepe Le Pew that was like, my darling, I love you. I love you so much. And he was really trying to talk me into raw dogging one day. I remember we were somewhere like, yeah, and I was like, nah, I'm not gonna raw dog you. And he totally did the just the tip argument with me. And I was like, no. And I knew something was off about him. I didn't like him enough. And then later I found out that, yeah, he was kind of banging around and I maybe had herpes or something. So, okay. Good thing I didn't bang him. Okay. This one comes from Robert. I was watching your follow-up on Cartoon Crushes. I wanted to share mine, which I am not at all embarrassed about. I love cartoons so much, still do. My cartoon crush was in a comic book. I'm a lifelong fan of Archie comic series, and I always loved Big Moose, Marmaduke Mason. Big, blonde, and dumb as a rock, but with a pure heart and a strong love for his girl, Midge. Wait a minute. So he likes the guy. So Robert's a gay guy. Okay, look up Big Moose, Marmaduke. He's cute. Yeah, I get it. Oh, this is like the prototype for the gay guy. Of course, if you're a young gay boy and you see Marmaduke Mason, that guy's totally gay. That's why he's there. He's free to awaken your homosexual feelings as a young man. Right? Because the shirt's a little too tight for a heterosexual boy. Hair is a little too stylish for a heterosexual guy. Yeah. Yeah, he's super gay. Okay. Well, cool, Robert. I'm glad that that guy could awaken your feelings. Okay, mine is from the MTV cartoon Daria. Yes, I was a huge fan of Daria. Her best friend, Jane's brother, Trent Lane, OMG, is probably the hottest. He's so right. Totally my type of actual human person. Tall, skinny, probably just a little bit dirty. This is from Chelsea. 100%, dude. I think I had a cartoon crush on him too, Trent. This is from Daria from the 90s. Oh, wow. Trent Lane. I remember Daria. La, la, la. See, this cartoon was, this is indicative of totally the 90s where the main characters were just like, you know, Ghost World. You ever seen Ghost World? They're just kind of like anti-heroes, right? They're both kind of goth chickies, kind of alternative. This was what's great about the 90s is that there were, you could just be gnarly and dirty and gross. And it was a whole category. It was very liberating to just be dirty in the 90s. It was fucking rad. Okay. As a child, I had a huge crush on Cat from the Aristocats. His name is Thomas O'Malley, the alley cat, and he had a total hard-on for Duchess, who was a single mom of three kids. He is totally a WAP machine.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, she likes him thick. He's a little thick for my liking. But, you know, Thomas O'Malley, I bet you had a good attitude. That's what it is that sells you. I like how the girls are drawn so feminine. Wow. That's exciting. The Aristocats. I got to give that a watch. Isn't there, there's a whole genre of pornography, right? That's like, don't they animate like, you know, like normal characters effing? Because although don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about here.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That sounds fucking amazing. Someone should be animating all of these.
I'm sure it's been done.
I know. Somebody's doing it right now listening to this podcast. I want to look at, let's look at your Halloween decorations. This is the last week, you guys, before Halloween's comes up. And man, you know, I have a friend who's been sending me videos of her house, and she's like one of these people that's been collecting pieces over years with her kids. And her house is, it's so profesh, you know, like mine's so rinky dinky from Michael's Arts and Crafts, and I'm super jellies. So let's do the first one. This one's pretty great. Hi, mommy. Here is a photo of my skeleton decor. My father-in-law is obsessed with Halloween and owns like six skeletons. So he let us borrow some this year. I even added some lights from Chandler. Oh, that's cool. On the lawn. I like that. On the lawn chairs. That's super cool. That's adorable. And they're wearing masks. How perfect is that for coronavirus? Amazing. I like how you put boxer shorts on that one. It's rad. Okay. Uh-oh. Very problematic name coming up. Is it Megan or Megan? I don't know how to say this. This is a hot topic on your mom's house now. We've received so many emails, right, Zolo? People pouring in. Is it Megan or Megan? What do you think?
I think Megan.
I think Megan too.
Yeah.
West Coast. I also share your love of Halloween, says Megan. My 5 and 2-year-old sons helped me arrange a skeleton throughout the month. They have named him Skeleton Boy. It's been a fun distraction from all the COVID. Oh, this is Twister. Oh, this is great. Oh, this is so great. There's a skeleton doing Twister on the lawn and then a dog. Oh, the skeleton dog. That's so fun. You know, this reminds me of 10th grade biology. We had a skeleton in our class. And it was my personal mission every day to put the skeleton's hand on his dick before class started. 69 dudes! 60 fucking nine. Oh, it's a little fun. See, my problem would be if I had two skeletons, you know they'd be effing. Oh, this is so cute. And you're your little baby. Oh, hello. That's really cute. Oh, I gotta do skeleton stuff, apparently. That's where the fucking party's at, bruh. Okay. Now, this is a very... Oh, this one's good. You guys are so smart putting them out, the skeletons out, with, like, doing little things, holding tumblers. Halloween's my favorite holiday. I have hand-decorated everything for you, Julia. You name it, I did it. Yes, I'm R-worded for Halloween. I'm trying to leave it up for Christmas so we can have a nightmare before Christmas theme. The Hubs is too high and tight and is not having it. For once, I want to be low and loose. Help me, jeans. Hell yeah, I'm coming in May. Love you, mommies. What is she asking for advice? Are those guns? No, those are bats. Okay, so this is her house. Is this hers, Zolo?
Yeah, this is hers. Yeah, there's just Halloween decorations all over the place, and her husband's not feeling it.
I know. You know what? In all honesty, most heterosexual men are not feeling Halloween. That's why it's your job as a woman to decorate the house. Yeah, I fucking said it, okay? If you're a mom and you love it, just do it. If you're a mom and you don't love it, don't do it. But I'm just saying, we bring cheer and joy. Look at that. Look how fun that is. All those different bottles and skulls and stuff. Yeah, do you see what I'm saying? This is what I'm saying. Like, it's time to stop being ashamed of our love of decoration. Look at that. Look at the joy that's bringing. He's trying to watch football and there's too much shit around the TV. That's crazy. That's really off the chain, though. There's so many bottles. Oh, I like the severed foot, too. That's really good. Wow. Holy shit. All right, cool. Let's do some follow-up emails. This is, you know, it's so funny. Leanne Kreischer, we got to bring her back on here. And I've been giving Leanne a little guff on the show because she comes on here and she's always like, I can give Bert the best blowjob. He can come in 5 seconds. Gang-gigger. And then she like doesn't share her beej secrets with us specifically, right? That's how you say that word, pacifically. So this listener figured it out. Here it goes. Whoa, 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 main mommy. You mentioned in episode 67 that Leanne has been stingy and never shared the dick sucking book written by the gay guy. Oh, she did. I know this because I immediately rewinded and took notes to later purchase that book. She mentioned it about a year ago. And my man has been pretty happy since. And so so she gets it down to 5 minutes or less now. Seriously, buy the damn book and skip to the blowjob chapter so you can become more like Ms. Pinsky and up your damn game. It's called Sex Tips for Straight Woman from a Gay Man. Alrighty, here, we're going to write it down. Sex Tips for Straight Women from a Gay Man. Hold on. Can I just download it really quick? Oh, shit. All right, here it is. Hold on. I got a double click to pay. Gets the face in there. Guys, I've just downloaded it. Here we go. Sex Tips for Straight Women from a Gay Man. May 27th, 2008. Okay, so this is back in 08. Oh, shit. Here's some do's and don'ts. You guys ready? I'm going to tell you bitches listening. Clean up your act. It's like number one. Isn't this interesting? A nice shower is always a good idea, whether he smells like he just got back from the gym or not. In your old life, it may not have mattered because you were the wide receiver and he was the star quarterback. What? But did I not understand what the fuck I just read? But now that your hands, mouth, and yes, your nose will be in places they might not have been before, and for a long time, you want to make sure it's squeaky clean. This is so true. My mother used to tell me this all the time. This is like rule number one. It's that men don't like women with stinky pussy. She would always tell me that. She said, you must keep your vagina clean. And you got to tell your kids everything. Okay. So clean up your act. That's number one. Baubles and beads. Do you ever notice that gay men might admire your cool jewelry, but they don't wear much of it themselves? Maybe it's true that men are dazzled by shiny earrings, but he doesn't want your tennis bracelet caught in his pubic hair. Okay, well, these are very fucking specific. These gay guys really get into the nitty, conversation stoppers, bite bits. All right, I'm going to fucking read this to you ladies. I'm going to have Leanne in and we're going to figure this out, yeah? Sure. Let's book her for next week. I'm going to read this book.
You want to skip to the beach chapter or you want to save that for Leanne?
I'm going to save this for Leanne. I'm going to read this. I'm going to make copious notes like I do my philosophy books. And then I'm going to let's get her in here and we're going to go over this shit once and for all. We're going to give a tutorial for the women. And
sounds good.
Yeah. This is in response to my, we already did that. Hold on. Yeah. This is in response to my too hot to cuddle problem with my husband that I've been having. You know, he claims that he's too hot for a cuddle sesh and, you know, it's very upsetting. Like you and Tomothy, my hot-bodied wife likes to cuddle with me. I love being the little spoon, but I cannot stand the heat and getting a sweaty back and ass in bed. What I found that helps me is when we cuddle, she is covered by the blankets and I just give a tiny bit or none covering me while my chest is exposed to the cool air to keep me comfortable when I am the little spoon. This has helped us both get the cuddles we want while staying comfortable for longer durations. I like this idea. Thank you. It says, love the show, Daddy Moon Fox. Okay. That's a scary name. It's like the Manson clan. They all had names like that, like Big Moon Sunshine and Daddy Moon Fox. Wow. I bet he fucks.
Now, Christina, what do you think about a guy being the little spoon? Is that okay?
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, gender doesn't exist, okay? So, it's fine. I enjoy it. I like to be the big spoon or the little spoon. At this point, Zolo, I'm just happy to take any form of spoonage that comes my way. I'll take it, any scrap of affection that Tom is willing to give. So it is not, but I see what you're saying. Prior boyfriends, it would be seen as unmasculine. Yes, I would say that it made my pussy dry. How do you feel about being the little spoon?
I'll be honest, I love it. It's real nice. But I know, again, this is a divisive issue. yeah. I feel
topic.
A little embarrassed to say it. Yeah. But it feels really nice.
I mean, you're basically being pegged by your girlfriend. It's not that far removed from her putting a big old D in your A. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that effeminate. It's not that effeminate. I'm trying to think if there's anything Tom does that's effeminate. No, like he's so... the only turnoff like a man is really... I don't like excessive filth in a man's living environment. I think that's a huge turnoff when his sheets are just fucking gross. Like when he's gross, that's a turnoff. I'll tell you the only turnoff, like I've had a boyfriend. Hold on, let me go take a piss and possibly diarrhea. And then I'm going to come back and let's do turnoffs. I want you guys to think of your turnoffs for boys and girls, okay? Take a piss real quick. Okay, I'm back. I did not brown. I just pished. But when I was sitting there, I was thinking of turnoffs for men. So I want to do a round of turnoffs with you guys and me. I'll just go through. I have so many. It's so funny. It occurred to me. I have so fucking many. It's like little things that I'm like, no, you'll never put your penis in my vagina. Ever, ever, ever. If you wear, this one makes me, I want to vomit when I see men doing this. What are these shoes called? You don't see them so much on the West Coast. On the East Coast, topsiders or like moccasins? Is this what these are called? Please look this up.
Are you talking about like boat shoes?
Ew, yes. God, you may as well have another guy's dick in your butt as you're walking around. Like, they're so gay. Look at this shit. Ugh. And here's the deal, man. Those shoes with no socks, that's really what makes me want to vomit, because I know what that guy's foot smells like, because it's been in a filthy, what is this called, topsider boat shoe.
Yeah, I've heard them referred to as boat shoes before, but topsiders brought this up, so I think both are correct.
So smelly, right? Oh, look at the ew. Even worse though, you know what I'm about to say. Tevas.
I'm not familiar.
The Birkenstock. Go ahead and put in Teva. In the 90s, this was big. T-E-V-A. These are sandals. Oh, bro.
Oh, these are making a comeback. I've seen guys wearing these, and I'm like, yo, what the fuck are you wearing,
dude?
Do
them a favor, bro. Tell your male friends, nobody wants to bang a guy in Tevas. Like, this is not cute, homie.
It's not acceptable.
Ugh. It doesn't look cute. Mostly when there's no socks involved. Okay, what are your turnoffs in a girl? Go ahead, be honest.
I don't know. There's not a lot, honestly.
Yeah, tell me. Let's go.
I said there's not a lot.
Oh, well, you're a young boy. Okay, I'll give you Ennies because I passed by him in the hallway on my way back in. He said, too much body hair on a woman. I agree. I think it's gnarly, right?
I agree with that, too. Yeah. Not a fan of body hair.
All right. What else? Come on. There's three boys in the booth. Give me. Come on, Nadav is more hateful. Let's put Nadav on the mic. He'll tell me what's up. yeah, see.
I would. So definitely anytime I've seen, like on the line of body hair, anytime I've seen armpit hair, it just, I need to get out of there. what else? Like if we've only gone on a couple dates.
Yeah.
Talking like really deep future planning.
Yeah, that's creepy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super
like,
gross.
Oh, I can't wait for you to come to like a Thanksgiving a year and a half from now.
And yeah. Like, and you're like on the first or second date.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even know if I like you yet.
That's nasty. Yeah.
I'm
talking superficial. You guys are too nice.
Armpit hair is pretty superficial.
I know. And you know what's so funny? I noticed too on TikTok or on Instagram, the girls that have it love to highlight it.
Yeah.
They love being like, oh my God, what are you going to say about it?
Yeah, like, it's nasty as shit.
Yeah, like,
dude.
All right, I get it. You got armpit hair. Madonna did it in 80, bitch. Not that shocking. Okay. Madonna. All right.
If they get some sort of. Like, if you find out that they're super, like, woke or social justice warrior-y, like, within the first little bit.
Yeah.
That whole thing
kills me.
Right, because it's like, yeah, I imagine that you're not racist. I imagine that, like, you want good things to happen. But, like, to make sure that I don't know. Just that it all always feels weird when it's brought up.
I agree. I think anybody that has, yeah, like, you fucking assume, especially if, I don't know, I assume most Angelinos are, like, not racist pieces of shit. Like, it's a pretty liberal city, you know?
Right.
Like, let's all assume that we're pretty dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hate anybody that has too restrictive of a diet that they always talk about. That's so fucking annoying to me.
Well, it depends if it's elective or not, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, oh, yeah, I can't eat gluten or I break out in hives. It's like, okay, but if you can't eat gluten because you feel cleaner, then go fuck
yourself.
Don't
talk to me about it. Yeah, I just don't want to fucking hear about your stupid fucking diet. I also hate on men. Oh, God. I hate when their nails are too long and or they have like dirt under their nails.
Nah, they're just working in the field, Christina.
No.
They got rough man hands.
No, when their nails are too long. I think Kat Von D's husband prayers.
Right, or they really into cocaine, I think.
Yeah, or guitar playing, and you're like, ugh.
Oh, that's gross.
So gross.
If they fashion their nails into guitar picks, so it's all
yes.
Blank, that's disgusting.
That's disgusting.
It's like, that better be for drugs, because if it's for a guitar, you're getting beat up.
Yes, that's how I feel. It's so gross when they have, and they're like, oh, I play the guitar. Like, why don't you use a pick? Isn't that what that's for? Like, not your dirty
but
nails.
Sometimes I lose my picks. This way I don't lose it.
Yeah. Cut your nails. Who are you, Dolly Parton? You think you're fucking cute? Okay. A ponytail. I'm not interested in a pony. Not interested in a ponytail. Also, teeth are big for me. If your teeth are jacked, no, not into it. I'm just talking about hygiene. Like, get that shit. Get your hygiene right. All right, I guess you guys are all pretty easygoing with ladies. Yeah. This is breaking news as well in the WMMA world. This is very interesting. I too love ranch so much. I legit could eat it by the spoonful by myself. This is for you, Nadav. I have been on a quest to replicate and find my fave restaurant ranch from glory days. I asked my server once how they make it, and he told me it was Hidden Valley Ranch packets, etc., blah, blah, blah. I bought the packet from the store, used buttermilk. Nope, not the same. Fast forward a year later, I decided at Amazon Fresh Delivery for my groceries. I'm opening up grocery bags, and out comes my ranch packets, and they're different than usual. They made a secret restaurant-style packet. You got to get your entire ranch life. I lost my mind. Wow, this is exciting. When I ordered it, didn't say restaurant style. It said Hidden Valley Ranch Dip Mix. So it sounds like you need to go on Amazon and get Hidden Valley Ranch Dip Mix. And that's what you're going to get. Oh, fantastic. Are you excited, Nadav? You've got your ranch?
Hell yeah. Always looking for ranch recipes.
You know, I got to tell you, though, there's nobody that can replicate Gelson's ranch. That's really my favorite ranch.
Hold up.
Yeah.
Gelson's ranch is where
it's best, bro. Like, I've been having it since I was a kid. There's something, it's all in the salad bar, which I'm sure is closed now for COVID, but bruh, Gelson's Ranch, and then you mix that with Thousand Island. There's nothing better on earth than Thousand Ranch. Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You're
go ahead.
Ruining ranch.
What do you mean
introducing
ruining?
Thousand Island?
You didn't know this about me? It's Thousand Ranch. I invented this, and I think everybody should try it. You want to change your life?
No, see, but I agree with
What's
you
wrong
that
with
both
you?
Of those dressings are good, but mixed together. I mean, I've never even tried it. It sounds like sacrilege.
No.
You're
see,
ruining ranch.
You know what? You got to open your heart. Open up your heart and your mind, Nadav. Have you never mixed genres like this? Have you never had ketchup and mayonnaise together?
Yeah, that's
it's
Thousand
good.
Island.
Yeah, and then add ranch to it, and now you've got...
And now it's ruined.
It's rad. It's so good. Just try it. Let me hook you up.
Okay.
But yeah, you have to get the right ranch on the right TI. You can't go... Okay. Yeah, it's really good. Okay. Let's do my favorite. Let's do Michelin Driving with Kids stories. This is so exciting. Today's Driving with Kids segment is brought to you by our sponsor, Michelin, and the new Cross Climate 2. Learn more at michelinman.com. I love these stories. I love these stories. Keep sending them in. Send them to whereamymomsat@gmail.com. Can you scroll up, Mommy? Let me see the phone number. 213-375-5184 to share your stories. I absolutely love them. So let's get to it. Oh, here's my own story I have. It's not terribly funny, but more of a useful tip. If you're driving on a long drive with your children, get audio books, right? Like if you subscribe to, what is it, Apple, iTunes? Why am I 80 years old? What's this shit called? iTunes.
Yep. Yeah. Audible?
Audible,
iTunes,
but it's not.
Apple
it's on
books?
The Apple Book. Yeah. If you just have the iTunes, like an unlimited, I do a year every month. You just, as many songs as you want. You can search for like Three Little Pig stories or whatever, Little Mermaid story. And you listen to essentially stories on tape. They're not on tape anymore. But we were in the car for 2 hours last week with our boys, and I played these stories, and it was so quiet, and it was so great. So this is great. Big fan of all the YMH shows. Very good, Dawn. Thank you. One day while driving to the convenience store with my six-year-old, some guy cuts me off in traffic. I mumbled something, which I thought was under my breath, as we both pull up next to each other in the parking lot and both get out of our cars. My son asks me very loudly, "Mommy, what's a douchebag?" The guy definitely heard him, and I was mortified. Dawn, thank you, Dawn. Yes. Well, by the time they're six, they're really picking up on all your language. My almost five-year-old now has been very creative and colorful with his language. So the other night we sat down and thought of alternates that he could say instead of the actual curse words. So cheese and rice. He really thought that was funny. Did you guys ever say cheese and rice? It's so corny.
Yeah.
Cheese and rice.
Cheese and crackers.
Cheese and cracker. Yeah, it's so, and they laugh. And anyway, I try to redirect. Always try and be like. But I have taught my son what a douchebag is. I think it's very important to be able to spot. But I don't call them douchebags. I call them dum-dums. Dum-dums smoke cigarettes. They don't go to college and they don't pay their taxes. Okay. Hey, Jeans, not a mom, but I wanted to share a super cool story with you about driving with my mom. My mom is an avid gum chewer, and when my brother and I were little, we would yell at her about spitting her gum out the window while she was driving. She would often just tell us that birds take it and make nests out of it. Eventually, I learned that birds not only do not use gum to build their nests, but the stickiness glues their beak shut. Oh, no. When I was a teenager, we were having an argument in the car and she went to spit her gum out the window. The wind blew right back in and it got stuck on her. We laughed hysterically, ending the fight, and she got the long overdue karma she deserved. She still chews gum and spits it out the window to my disdain. Morgan from New Jersey. That is amazing. That is amazing. I didn't know it sticks their little beaks together. Anyway, please send them in. Do we have another one? No.
We have a voicemail.
Oh, voicemail. Yeah. Great. Let's do, this will be the last one. Perfect. Thank you, guys. I love these.
Hey, mommies, what's going on? I just had a quick crazy vehicle story. One of my earlier memories, me and my little brother were in a car with my family, obviously, and I had gotten out with them, and my brother stayed in the car. He had flicked the gear into driving, and it started to go around in a circle. It was like an old Bronco, just driving in a circle over and over and over again, somehow not hitting anything or changing trajectories. An old man came out and jumped inside the car, and not my dad, not my mom, just some random bystander came out, jumped into the car, put it into gear, stopped it, and practically saved my brother's life, because it was just going around and around in circles. I could never imagine anything like that happening. Christina mentioned movie type stuff. That's a movie. Keep it tight. Love you guys. Bye.
Wow. I didn't even know that was possible. Well, thank God for the kindness of strangers, huh? Holy mackerel. We haven't done mom fails in a long time, mostly because I feel like every day is a mom fail. It's a constant struggle. We just had to have the plumber come again to fix a toilet because Juju has been throwing everything down there and flushing. Let me hear some mom fail voicemails. Those are always fun.
Now it's time for a round of mom fails.
Hi, Christina. My name's Harry. I have a dad fail for you. When my daughter was 2 months old, I got up in the night to feed her, and I had her in my arms. I tripped and I fell. Fortunately, I managed to get my arms out in time and not squish her. Unfortunately, she rolled out of my hand and went down the stairs. She only went about halfway, though. She's not R-worded, thank God. That was about 7 years ago. She can read, she can write. We're all good. Cheers, mommy. Bye.
Aww. That's so sad, and that happens, I'm sure, every single day. And what a great accent you had. Thank you. It sounded like, where was he from? Liverpool? I don't know. What do you think? Was that Welsh, maybe?
Somewhere in the UK.
Of course. Oh, I love it. I love their. I don't care. I could listen to him talk all day with that accent. Yeah, I think they can survive. I mean, I was when I was about like newly pregnant with Julian. I would say I was like 8 weeks pregnant, and I fell down the stairs of our house. I was coming down the stairs to get something to eat, and like I was wearing socks, and my foot just slid out from under me because I was going down the stairs very fast because I was very hungry. And I just I ate shit. And I'm like, oh no, this kid's going to come out wonky. But he didn't. So there you go. Yeah. All right. Let's do one before. So can you turn the audio up on these? Because I'm hearing it really low.
What's up, Christine? Zena here with a mom fail. I have a 1.5-year-old who was severely constipated because we were overfeeding him rice and had a giant turd that we literally had to dig out of his butt. It was one of the grossest things I've ever had to do, and I never thought that motherhood would be so beautiful. Thanks, Christine. Love the show.
Christine. I love being called Christine. Turd digging. I've never had to turd dig yet. I just feed them prunes. Whenever they get constipated, I just give them, you can do it from the time they're little babies. We just boil some prunes. Plums. Take the skin off, just boil the meat of the plum, and you can mix it in their baby food even if they're constipated. But just give very, very, very little because it works really, really well. And you won't have to dig turds, hopefully. Okay. Here's a mom hack. Gosh, a million years ago, I played this clip of this woman who kept the lip of her jars clean. I still think about it to this day. You know, when you see something and you're like, that was amazing. Like I never thought that I could take a paper towel and like clean lids of jelly jars or clean the lips of jars. So nutty. Like who does that? What do you got all the time in the world? So this is super cool. This is, hey, Mommy Christina, I'm a dog mommy and a nanny. I have a mom hack that helps you feel as put together as the jelly jar lady. So that's who she's referring to. I went on Amazon and bought chef squeeze bottles for my condiments. I find it's easier for the kids to use without all the splatter of the original bottle. Plus, I not only get to do fun things like write "rar" next to dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets on their plates and ketchup, but it keeps the fridge clean too. Will you Google that for me? I'd like to see squeeze bottles for the condiments. I think she's referring to the kind that you get at like barbecue. Yeah, bro. That's what the fuck I'm talking about. I get it. God, kids love that stuff. And then they're not breaking things. You know what I mean? Like barbecue sauce or like, you know, mayonnaise or whatever. You can put as much or as little in the bottle too. Think about that. So those little turds, my two-year-old is really into more ketchup, more ketchup, more ketchup. And he'll just squeeze as much ketchup as he can out. So this is good. You can put in just a little bit too so that they can feel like they're getting their stuff without completely wasting everything in the house. This is brilliant. I like that. Very bright. Ooh, I have a trick too. I just learned this mom hack. If your kid, if you have to put, so Juju has a little rash around his mouth from his passy, and I'm having to put cream around his mouth. Little boy, my boys hate having any kind of cream put on them, and they'll fight you. So what I do is I put it on, and then I go, don't worry, I'm going to wipe it right off. And then I get a wipe, and then I pretend I wipe around the area that I've just put the lotion on or the fluid on. And then they're so dumb. They think you just wiped it off, what you did. I didn't do that stupid. So that was really exciting. Good times. Yeah, it's exciting shit. Pajitsky effects, always my favorite. The microwave. So I bought a microwave for my bathroom coffee station, as I mentioned previously. However, because I am lazy, I haven't carried the microwave up the stairs yet. So it's sitting in my living room, still in the box. So, hey, you know, baby steps, guys. Maybe next year I'll figure out how to get that microwave up the stairs. Hi, mommy. I grew up very middle class, but there was no extra money for additional food after mom's initial grocery trip. Being that mom made turkey and cheese sandwiches every day for lunch, me and my brothers, the turkey, and most importantly, the cheese had to last until my dad got paid again. I always said cheese is my favorite food, so this posed a consistent problem for me. If I went to eat a lone piece of cheese, I would get in big trouble because it meant someone's sandwich would go without cheese. She started buying string cheese as a solution, but you just don't get the same variety of cheese and string cheese, and it doesn't always stop me. So my Pajitsky effect now as an adult who lives alone is I realize I can just straight up eat a piece of cheese in peace without worrying about it. I can have any kind of cheese at any time. Thanks, mommy. Yeah, this is, again, Megan or Megan. I don't know. She doesn't put her pronunciation there. She doesn't put her proper. That's another thing we should start doing is how we want our names pronounced. You know, it's like part of your pronouns. Are you Megan or Megan? I don't know. It's very confusing. That's so funny. Cheese is so important in one's home. I bought the wrong kind of cheese yesterday. I'm a fan of the cheddar. I like my slices, but I, you know, it's nothing's more disappointing than going and you get the wrong fucking cheese, right? It's a mild cheddar. Who the fuck wants a mild cheddar? You go for sharp. Otherwise, right? Why even bother with a cheese if you're not going to get the flavors, right, Zolo? What kind of cheese are you into? Talk about it.
I'm a big fan of smoked Gouda.
Oh, get your life. The Trader's Joe kinds?
Of course.
Yeah, this is the best kind of cheese.
That's got to be like top cheese.
Top
like,
cheese.
That's it.
The wheel. The fucking... The, yeah, bro. That's magic.
So Gouda. Good.
So good. All right. That's it, you guys. I hope you have a great Halloween. I hope you have a lot of fun with your kids. I know we can't do trick-or-treating, which sucks for them, but, you know, I don't know. Throw them some candy in the house and bob for apples and... I don't know. Try to make it fun anyways. And email me wheremymomsat@gmail.com. Leave me your voicemails at 213-375-5184. And until next time, stay cool, moms. Bye. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's at? Christina Pee.